All right, you know, we have a great plan today. And that doesn't feature Caesar dressing discussion. We have a great plan. All football. And we got a lot of positives about football. Now, I am going to personally bring you a positive college football topic. It's a blitz. In our never-ending series of building Rico back up after we burned him to the ashes all spring and summer, I have for you my favorite off-brand college football players of all time. Okay. We're going to see how many of these guys you know. We're going to send Kenny on the Google machine. We are going to talk about the debut.
Oh, this is where you give me the clues.
Yes.
Oh.
You have a bracket. Kenny has a bracket. David has a bracket. I will be revealing these all show. The first ever 12-team playoff bracket. They're going to go up on the whiteboard. Whoever is the most accurate one gets an all-expenses-paid dinner by the rest. And a real dinner, not one of Kenny's with plastic forks and Dixie cups. A real dinner with silverware, Kenny. We also have a hilarious Connor Stallion story. And I think it proves Rico and I's point this entire way. The man is a psycho, and yet you still found him incredibly valuable to you. You don't get to say he was a psycho, and then your head coach is slipping the headset off on fourth and inches to hear what psycho has to say. This dude tried to get a job at a different high school, and an adult stepped in, except he was Michael Douglas from Falling Down. Yeah. Apple in the briefcase. I'm still showing up. Milton, you got laid off a year ago. We have got so much to do.
Yeah, that's it. He pulled a George Costanza.
Yes.
What do you mean? I work here.
Yes.
No, you don't.
Kramer, the Peterman accounts. I knew you'd appreciate that, Kenny. So we got a lot of good stuff today. But can I just, for a moment, do you hear what Otto just said?
Yeah.
All right. Here's my question. I want to do this a different way because I refuse to do backup quarterback discussion. But
Bailey Zappi.
No. No, no, no. Why is it that Dan Campbell is able to be criticized? And he has been. But Brad Holmes isn't. And why am I asking that question is simple. It seems like every year you take a third round pick and you throw it in the garbage. I view your Detroit Lions as a Super Bowl team. Now you're getting reports that your third round pick quarterback can't beat out Nate Sudfeld. Dave Burkett saying it, not me. You got another third round pick in Broderick Martin who's shown next to nothing. And you have this year's third round pick who openly and brazenly didn't even have a profile picture. Giovanni Manu. Who? Mm-hmm. My question is, those three third-round picks, with Brad Holmes' ability, and he's a stud evaluator, why is it the first and second round we're hitting grand slams, and the third round, he hits the claw at the bowling alley and tries to bring up a stuffed animal?
My own personal belief, they're still celebrating the first and second round. Slapping each other on the back, high-fiving. Hey, Lions picking the third's coming up. You pick it. And they go back and finish celebrating.
What if there was just like a Price is Right wheel back there and it had players' faces on there, except for Manu, where it was a silhouette? And just spin the wheel. Like, the big thing I get to, though, is for people, and this is going to be a tough one, a real tough one. For people like Cookies, who wanted to bow at the altar of Hendon Hooker, to die on this hill, to actually say they didn't want Jared Goff for Hendon Hooker. Here's where you've arrived at. A point where Dave Burkett, who's one of the most respected beat writers in the league, is telling you Nate Sudfeld would go in the game first. I mean,
so if the unforeseeable happens, Goff goes down, it's Sudfeld, not Hendon Hooker.
You heard the report from
Otto. No. I'm just reiterating that point to the people in the back. Like, but this is a guy who should be ready to take the reins and go with it. And maybe, heaven forbid, he pulls what Brady did to Drew Bledsoe. You're never getting your job back.
Sure.
Not saying that Hendon Hooker's Tom Brady, but this is a chance that I wanted, and I'm never going to let it go.
Personally, that, Kenny, you heard it that way too, right? Got it. Look, the 2 points I want to make is this. I want to ask you, the people, if you are willing to do the following. A, can we take Brad Holmes down from the altar? Can we pull him from the clouds and have him rejoin us on planet Earth? that Dan Campbell is one of the better coaches in the NFL. He's the best coach in Lions history. Yet, rightfully, we have conversations about Dan Campbell. Most of it positive, some of it questionable and downright critique. Brad Holmes has achieved a very weird space in that he gets treated like he's Theo Epstein, or he gets treated like he's Vince Lombardi.
Oh my, yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, I can say Brad Holmes is awesome. However, this Hendon Hooker pick is looking increasingly bad.
Mm-hmm.
The Manu pick I didn't like from Jump Street because I don't need a project tackle. I need to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I view it like, I mean, you know, I mean, Rico, your team does a great job with it too. A third round pick in Brad Holmes' hands? That's a starter.
A third round pick is either a starter or heavily in the rotation.
Yes.
Where you're playing. A third round pick, think about it, is maybe that defensive lineman or another corner that you desperately needed in the NFC championship.
So here's what
game.
The last three have been. A guy who can't beat out Nate Sudfeld, a guy who's not in your top three D-tackle rotation, and a guy who is so far away from playing NFL football, it's not even funny. A guy who legitimately should be on the practice squad. So my question is this. Can we at least arrive at a point where we can talk about some of these misses? Or, for the Hookerites out there, are you willing to finally let go of this stupidity and just join us in the real world? That you paid Jared Goff, that he is your quarterback, that we can stop with the Hooker stuff, please? Because from the sounds of it, this dude's nowhere close. And what I'm not going to do is backup QB talk. I'm not. I'm not going to sit here and do a show moaning about we need Ryan Tannehill. I don't care.
Yeah.
If Jared Goff gets hurt, our season's over.
I think Brad Holmes gets the love from the city of Detroit, Mike, because he's like the stepfather who becomes the father you always wanted. Because the Lions drafts have just been horrible. Normally they get the first round selection, right? And then the other guys are greeting you at Walmart. Because they're out of the league in 2 or 3 years. Where Holmes all of a sudden is getting guys in the fifth round and sixth, and they're playing. And it's like, oh my God, this is great. He's the stepdad that actually teaches you how to ride a bike, who actually delivers on his promises to take you to McDonald's. And you've never experienced this before. So he can do no wrong. That's what Brad Holmes is to this city, because he's able to get picks in the later rounds that actually stick with the team.
But here's my argument. The last three third-round picks are the separator between you being an overwhelming favorite in the NFC and not.
True.
That the fact is, with Brad Holmes' ability, he's phenomenal. These third-round picks, this has become a trend here. You've wasted it on a backup QB who's not a backup QB, a D-tackle who's not a primary backup, and a guy who didn't have a picture on scouting services. Now, the potential could be there down the line.
I don't think you have a third one next year because you moved up to Divock.
Yeah, but I'm not knocking him. You got Carlton Davis.
Right.
The point I'm making is potential years down the line, I don't care. You have a very finite window to win a Super Bowl in this league. I don't need Manu to be good in 2027 or 6. I need him to be good now.
Right.
I don't need Hendon Hooker to be good, what, in the last year of his rookie deal? It won't matter. You paid your quarterback.
Right.
You can't play Hendon Hooker and Jared Goff at the same time. Versus, what if they'd taken a corner, an edge rusher, a running back, whatever it
and
may be.
Hendon Hooker doesn't even have value that you could put him out there for the suckers out there who need a backup QB or need a starting QB.
No, and you're seeing it with Cleveland, because even with DTR, you know, they're trying to trade him now. You know, there's no value. They're struggling to find a market for him. Go ahead, Kenny. I'm sorry, buddy.
No, you're good. What frustrates me is the Super Bowl window is right now, is it not? So I'm with you, Mike. Drafting for potential down the line 2-3 years from now, that does nothing for me, because we don't know where this franchise is going to be 2-3 years from now. Hopefully still in that window, but we know we're in that window right now, right here, right now.
But there's no scenario, Kenny, where if Goff got hurt, you're putting Sudfeld in the game over Hooker.
No, that's a disaster.
Because if that's the case, you need to release Hooker.
100%.
Like, that's crazy to me.
Sudfeld has looked bad against backups. There's no shot I put him in over Hooker.
I don't know, Kenny. It just struck me when Otto did it in his update, and I'm like, we're sitting here trying to win a Super Bowl, and I got three guys on my 53-man roster that I don't really need. I don't have a role for. And one of the guys we had hosted this station advocating to not pay our Pro Bowl quarterback in favor of this guy. And this guy can't win the backup job. That just seems like outer space to me.
Yeah, but remember at that time, all you had was remember how great he played at Tennessee and he was on the cusp. He was in Heisman talk and maybe we're getting a steal. He's mobile. He could do all of the things that Jared Goff can't do. Except you later found out maybe Jared Goff got a bad rap. Maybe Jared Goff was actually pretty good.
Let me tell you, and I know it's not your argument. I know you're saying this is what people think. So I'm okay to say the following. Let me tell you why that is so dumb. Okay, Colt Brennan almost won the Heisman Trophy. Was Colt Brennan an NFL quarterback?
Mac Jones.
You know, Tim Couch. Yeah. Like, players go to New York that don't belong there. Like, I don't care. It's not Rico's thing. I'm not attacking Rico. It's a dumb thought process by people to hold on to the first half of Tennessee's season 2 years ago. It's crazy to me.
But you're thinking maybe we're going to find our Mahomes. We're going to find our Jalen Hurts. We're going to find that QB because we're smart and we got him. We're going to take him in the third round. And it was almost like, okay, you're competing against yourself because I don't think anybody else is ready to take Hendon Hooker in the third round. You could have gotten him a lot later in the draft and taken somebody who could have actually helped you in last year's NFC Championship game when all your corners start going down. Right. You could have took an extra corner.
Look, it's the last three third-round picks, realistically. And I have no qualms about trading a third to get Carlton Davis. I'm more in line to let's do more of that versus whatever these last three picks are. Because if I look at three more contributors to this roster, doesn't that put me on terms with San Francisco or maybe ahead?
Yeah.
Versus now, look, you're tying up roster spots. I mean, the Lions have already, seemingly, they don't want to carry three quarterbacks. Okay. Broderick Martin, like, what role does he play? Realistically. He's not going to play ahead of Onwuzurike. He's not going to play ahead of DJ Reader, and he's not going to play ahead of Ali McNeil. And Manu... you cannot put him on the field.
No.
He's not even remotely ready. So I just wondered if it changed your perspective is all because, look, the station is so obsessive about backup QB stuff. I'm not. But if this guy, like what you should be hearing about Hendon Hooker is he is lighting camp up. That's what you should be hearing if this was a remotely decent pick. And you're certainly not hearing that. So I don't know. We were going to go a different direction to start the show, but Jeremy Otto really upended things to start the day. That's his mulligan. 248-539-9797. We will get your phone calls. Tons of college football today. Most of it positive. And Rico's bracket, the reverse receipts segment. We'll do it all as the day goes along. 97.1.